at townhall.com.
Good morning. If you're on I-10 going east, approaching 295, a lot of backup there because of a crash involving at least three cars. 295 south at Dunn Avenue, there's an accident, and it's blocking one lane. We are looking at the traffic cams now and see a lot of backup there. And at 295 south at Wilson Boulevard, another accident. Lots of rain this afternoon with thunderstorms. More rain continuing overnight with a low of 76. The high today, 87. Right now, 79 at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A Rasmussen poll says 73% of Democrats are looking for a fresh face to represent the party in 2020. The U.S. House approved a measure supporting ICE, but Senate Democrats blocked the resolution. And phase two of proposed tax cuts by the Republicans heavily focus on helping people retire.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed@wbob.com.
Line on the table this morning. Good morning, Ed Dean here along with Roger Henderson. Don't forget to download the app, listen to us any part of your smartphones, Android phones. It's free. A lot of you do it. Just go to the website, WBOB.com, WBOB.com. It is free app. Also follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/WBOB. So the Republicans have, without releasing so much information, Roger, they keep teasing and talking about a phase two, as 2.0 tax reform coming out. Here is the godfather of phase one, Kevin Brady, says this is what at least somewhat they would like to see in the phase two part coming out.
So today we're here to talk to you about making permanent this tax relief. One, so they can continue to grow. Two, so we can add 1.5 million new jobs. And three, we can protect them against a future Washington trying to steal back those hard-earned dollars.
According to some of the reports, the biggest areas dealing with a tax cut is dealing with people in the retirements accounts. Here was Fox Business News.
Changes coming to retirement savings, the biggest in more than a decade. Republicans looking to include them in their tax reform 2.0 effort. Things like universal savings accounts, encouraging small employers to offer retirement savings programs, and making it easier to turn workers' savings into guaranteed annual income.
Here on our Newsmaker line, he is the professor of economics at the O'Neill Center, O'NeillCenter.org at SMU University, also economics columnist with FloridaDaily.com. Dean, it all sounds good. Can you break it down? I mean, I understand about the tax cuts being permanent. We'll get to that in a moment. But dealing more with retirements, Dean, me as a former economics reporter, you as an economist, there's some good things in here. What is the downside with some of this?
Well, I'm not sure there's a huge downside here other than making the tax code more complicated. But ultimately, one of the things they're trying to do beyond just making those personal income tax cuts permanent is they're trying to encourage savings. And we've always had a fairly low savings rate in the U.S. compared to other countries. And so they're trying to put in some provisions to make it easier, for example, for small business to engage in retirement programs and kind of pool their resources with other small businesses to save money on that, and then also to make it easier for for people who are above, I think 70.5 is the cutoff, years old, to continue to contribute to their plans, and with people working longer and living longer. These are important things that can help people build up a bigger nest egg for retirement.
So, Dean, what you're saying is when you look at, again, the phase two being promoted, again, a lot of it's still very much gray. There's not really any specifics on a lot of this. You're telling me from what you've seen when it comes to retirement, what they're talking about, trying to help people save for the middle class, that there's a more upswing, there is no much of a downside, as you say.
Well, the only downside I see is the fact that it makes the tax code more complicated. And so in that sense, that's always better to keep the tax code simple, but it's already pretty darn complicated. So this, it's another example of government trying to nudge our behavior in a sense and try to get us to do things that maybe we don't really want to do in terms of save for retirement. And by the way, there's an easier way to do it. Well, easier not politically, but easier in theory. And this is an issue we've talked about before, and that's to reform Social Security, like Bush tried to do years ago, and follow what 31 other countries have done, and give personal accounts instead of throwing money down the rat hole of Social Security.
Dean Stansel is a professor of economics at the O'Neill Center. Go to O'NeillCenter.org at SMU University, also economics columnist with FloridaDaily.com. There was a study done by, what, Northwest Mutual that came out and said that 21% of Americans have no retirement savings at all, while two-thirds of people with a savings account or plan are certain that their funds will dry too soon. Dean, you know, it's almost like you ask the question, like, why is it that when it comes to our education system, we're taught the norm that you got to go to college? I mean, we never seem to have a, like, who makes that type of analysis where everybody agrees that in order to get a better education, you got to go to college, but yet they don't talk about trade schools. So let me throw it this way. Who has made this, I mean, why is it that people are not more up on their finances out there, especially like with this station and other stations where they have the financial planners on the weekend? Why do we do such a horrible job when it comes to our own personal finances and becoming more literate?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that a part of it is a big share of that paycheck goes straight to Uncle Sam before you even see it. And I think also there's some misunderstanding about the nature of Social Security, and you know, a big chunk of it's going to that. And people think, well, you know, we've got Social Security to fall back on. And ultimately, you know, we live in kind of a short attention span culture where people want to spend now, and the idea of saving for the future is not so popular with people. And so the combination of those things lead people to save less than they otherwise would. And one of the things that they were talking about with some of these small business incentives is that there was another aspect where they would give some sort of tax credit for companies that make, I don't want to say mandatory, but I think that's basically mandatory contributions on your behalf into a retirement plan. Approach is that then you don't have to worry about the workers actually having the discipline to save their money because the company basically does it for you.
But Dean, you know what this kind of interesting is, what this does, this really, and it doesn't matter what party you're with, but it's primarily on the liberal left when it comes to the issue of saving money. It's kind of like the charitable aspect where you have the Catholic Church, certain other organizations out there, where if they're overwhelmed by charity out there, the government comes in and says, well, whatever you have a lacking of an overflow, we can take advantage of it. And when they take advantage of it and they try to help out people, then less charitable groups are wanting to become more involved. And yet, if you've got people that are retiring less, that are uneducated, in a weird way, doesn't the government kind of, I mean, not agreeing with them, but do they not have a plausible argument saying, hey, since you guys aren't retiring, let us take over since we've done such a bang-up job with Social Security? Remember, the Obama administration wanted one of those individual retirement accounts, but totally overlooked, overseen by the feds.
No, that's right. I mean, the government, I mean, this takes us back to the New Deal, basically, but the government crowds out private activity in this area. It used to be the case that there were lots of local fraternal organizations that basically took care of the people in their local area who they knew, and you know, there was local knowledge as opposed to the one big federal program in D.C. And that, in my view, was a better system, and we ought to try to find some way at least to go back in that direction. But it's hard politically to get there. These retirement IRAs, and even there's aspect of this where they're looking at health savings accounts and making those easier to use, where people can put aside pre-tax dollars to spend on medical expenses, and a universal savings account provision that would make it easier for folks to save who aren't at a company that has a retirement plan. All these things will help offset some of that stuff, but ultimately it comes down to the individual, right? The individual taking responsibility for their own well-being in retirement and putting aside some money, and that's, you know, it's hard to discipline yourself to do that sometimes, especially when you're just kind of stretched and living paycheck to paycheck.
Let me jump in. By the way, we're talking with Dean Stansel, who's the economics columnist for Florida Daily, professor of economics at the O'Neill Center. Go to O'NeillCenter.org at SMU University. This, we took a lot of input from the audience this past week, and I got to play this clip, so it's going to kind of jump in right in the middle, but this was a commercial being run by the Commissioner of Agriculture, Adam Putnam, against Congressman DeSantis, where in a Republican primary, they're defaulting DeSantis because he supported raising the retirement age for Social Security recipients to age 70. Just listen to the last few seconds of this commercial.
Medicare? DeSantis has spent too much time in Washington.
DeSantis even voted to increase the retirement age. You gotta be kidding me.
So voted to increase the retirement age, but yet in the Republicans' plan, they're talking about going, and I'm not a big fan of annuities, but would they at least allow where you can take a portion of your 401k, you get through your work, and buy an annuity that would kick in later in life, like such at age 85? Why in the world are Republicans keep pushing up this idea. In order to make things more solvent, we need to, you know, the eligibility age should be kicked the can down the road. Well, I mean, if you paid into the system, Dean, why should, whether it's Social Security or whatever, why should you not be able to collect it at the age the government originally said you should be able to collect it at?
Well, I think the main reason is that the nature of the program has changed, because when they put it in place, average life expectancy was 61, so you weren't going to get anything, basically. And now average life expectancy is up to 75, and so that really changes the nature of the program. And I think that it's reasonable to raise that over time and phase it in, but I understand that's unpopular in states with a lot of retirees like Florida.
Yeah, but wait, Dean, you got a lot of people that live past, I mean, firemen and cop cases, those in the black community. So why do we have a one-size-fits-all then?
Well, that's right, and that's the advantage of personal accounts. Is if you switch to a system of personal accounts, then you own that money. It doesn't matter when you die, and you can pass it on to your heirs. And like I said, there's 31 countries. Argentina has this. China has this. Mexico has this. Russia has this. We're really behind the curve on that, and I don't know how we get in the game on that, but it's really a huge way to make everyone better off. And there's some transition costs in the beginning, but hopefully we'll find some momentum to get back in that direction. Because ultimately, Social Security is bankrupt essentially already, but if not technically bankrupt yet, it's getting there because of demographic changes, and it's just the nature of the program. It's essentially a Ponzi scheme, and it's going to collapse eventually.
All right, Dean Stansel, professor of economics at the O'Neill Center at neillcenter.org at SMU University. Good to have you on again, Dean.
Yep, thanks for having me on, Ed.
All right. More as we continue to move along. I was going to ask the question. I forgot about this. I know I'm going to get the emails at WBOB.com. You know, I asked the question, why is it that Americans do such a horrible job at saving money? I understand they buy, it's the easy point, it's the era of now. But it's been that way for many years. Mm. I mean, in the 1980s, I mean, the Japanese did a much better job saving money than it was. So this is not new. So why is it? I mean, we have financial radio shows on this station weekends. Mm. And a lot of these guys do such a real good job. We have a lot of this. There's a lot of knowledge out there. But why are not people doing this?
I don't think there is. There may be a lot of access to knowledge. I don't think it's reaching enough people. That's the problem. And I think when it comes to young people, they think they're going to be young forever. And they aren't thinking about retirement at the age
of
22.
But you understand the argument that if you guys do not do so, and that's right, you guys, the listeners and gals, if you don't do such a good job, the government's just dying to come in.
Right.
And they want to oversee it. By the way, if you don't think, and I don't care what party you are, if you don't think the government wants to come after your retirement, I got news for you. Trillions of dollars. I mean, we could be talking, the numbers could fluctuate, could be 20. I don't know how many billions, trillions. But years ago, it was around 14 to 16 that are in retirement accounts. That is green lights on the Christmas tree for the elected officials out there. And I'm just kind of curious as why do we not talk enough about finances? And yet, I mean, are we not talking enough about personal finances? But the government doesn't even want to come in and get involved, where they can sit back and say, Roger, I'm going to allow you to have more of your personal money through a retirement savings account. Why are the Republicans talking more? I mean, they talk about it during a campaign, but when it comes to legislative process, very little on this.
You know, maybe it's the whole personal responsibility mentality. You know, I'm not for government mandates, but there are probably a couple I'd be for, and that is making people have retirement accounts through a 401k, maybe making the employer set aside some of the money, even if it's not matched, and maybe even at banks, requiring people to check, I abstain or decline putting money into an investment account for their monthly checking account.
Like a phone app.
And have a fee. Yeah.
More as we continue to move along, love to hear what you think. At 222-TALK, 222-8255, TALK Radio. WBOB.
I-295 South before Wilson Boulevard, there is an accident. The only problem we see on the road, other than an earlier crash at Dunn Avenue, where there's a wreck off to the right. Traffic this morning is being brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning.
Criminal illegal aliens are a threat to Florida neighborhoods and a threat to Florida taxpayers. Adam Putnam believes it's time to support President Trump's plan to stop illegal immigration and put Florida families first. Securing our borders and banning sanctuary cities, deporting violent criminals, and protecting taxpayers. Adam Putnam will stand with President Trump and Florida law enforcement to keep us safe. Here's Adam Putnam.
There are many reasons to be mad about illegal immigration. Here's one we can't stand for. Today, taxpayers in Florida are paying nearly $100 million a year to imprison criminal illegal aliens. $100 million to feed, clothe, and house criminal illegal aliens. I'm Adam Putnam, and we need to support President Trump's plan to secure our borders and ban sanctuary cities. We need to protect taxpayers and deport violent criminals now.
Sponsored by Florida Grown PC.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. If you're interested in buying a fine quality diamond, but might start with a smaller diamond and then over time grow that to a larger size diamond, at Underwoods we have a way to do that. And we've been doing it for more than 50 years. We call it Grow a Diamond, and here's how it works. When a customer buys an Underwood engagement ring, solitaire diamond pendant, or a pair of ear studs, we guarantee they get the price they paid for it on the purchase of any bigger diamond. Now, a lot of stores would say, big deal, we do that too, but here's the Underwood difference. We guarantee you get what diamond, even if you're only trading up by $1. It's not that you have to trade up two for one like most jewelers ask. We've done this with thousands of customers through the years, so if you're interested in growing a diamond, come by and see us at Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, or the Shops of Pontevedra.
Everybody loves this top hit. And now, for the first time, you can hear it live in person. Corinne Hawthorne will be here in Jacksonville live to perform her smash hit, Won't He Do It? It's the concert event of the summer, Corinne Hawthorne. Corinne Hawthorne, a finalist on NBC's The Voice. Now she's coming to Jacksonville. It's all happening Saturday night, July 28th. Tickets are only $15 each, so get yours now. They're on sale at the Salem Center, at Abyssinia Baptist Church, and online at jackscommunityevents.com. The concert event of the summer. Be there Saturday night, July 28th. It's Corinne Hawthorne, live in concert. So I trust a
man all time. Planning lots of rain with thunder this afternoon and into the evening. Our high today, 87 degrees. Tonight's low, 76. Right now, 79 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram next at 9. Dennis Prager at noon on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The U.S. House has approved a measure supporting ICE, but Senate Democrats blocked the resolution. Phase two of proposed tax cuts by Republicans heavily focus on helping people retire. And a Rasmussen poll says 73% of Democrats are looking for a fresh face to represent the party in 2020.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed at wbob.com.
Roger Henderson, Ed Dean right here on WBOB. Big controversy. We're going to play the clips here in a moment. And I have a different perspective on this whole Terrence Freeman, the liberal left out there, the Democrats are crying foul. Governor Rick Scott, the appointee pick. I'm going to break this down pretty simple here, but Terrence Freeman, again, is replacing Reggie Brown, and of course, Katrina Brown's being replaced. The big argument is well, hey, Terrence lives in the city, but he doesn't live in the, quote, district. But according to the state law, and to the winner goes the spoils, Governor Rick Scott says he's fallen to the letter of the law. It allows him to pick and choose whoever he may like when it comes to this. But the question is, does it violate city charter? I want to break this more down here in a little bit because there is an hypocrisy by the left. Here is this whole news story. Jim Pickett from News 4 Jax, where there's a controversy because Terrence Freeman doesn't live in a district and somehow World War III and the world's about to end in somebody's District 10 here in Jacksonville.
So I've been out here today in District 10 talking to people about this appointment with City Council. Many are upset. One woman is calling for a recall. Others are saying something needs to happen because they don't feel they're being represented. Terrence Freeman was sworn in last week. Before that, he lived in Mandarin, is now living and leasing space in District 10. I talked to him on the phone today and asked if he understood why many in the district oppose his appointment, arguing that he just moved there. For some, that's not good enough. Community activist Angie Nixon is now pushing a call to action. She wants people to phone Governor Scott and city leaders to force Freeman to resign. An editorial published today in the Florida Times-Union, a paper that normally supports Governor Scott, bashes his decision. It calls on Scott to fix it and throw in the towel on this one. A lawsuit has also been filed to block Freeman's appointment. A lawyer for the city is stepping in on behalf of Freeman to represent the city's interests.
So Jim Pickett walked around in the community, and here's what some of the community citizens had to say about this huge controversy.
Well, it's kind of tearing the district up. People's a little peeve.
What do you think it's doing to this district?
Degrading it.
Terrence Freeman was interviewed by Jim Pickett on phone. This is what Freeman had to say.
I do understand it, but we're here now. This is where we're at. I'm here to work hard for you and to do my best to make sure that I'm getting things done for the community. And we have a 10-month window. Come March, there's going to be an election. It was after the encouraging of residents from the district that I should consider it, that I even was willing to throw my name in the hat.
And let's be honest, 30 people had thrown their names in the hat.
Right.
He hadn't even thrown his name in the hat. He's a black Republican. And I wonder, you know, you and I talked about this. If this had been a Democrat appointing an individual black Democrat, and the Republicans had brought this issue up, they would have been called, oh, it's racism left and right. What the heck's going on? But yet, let me ask a question. Let me try to break this down. Why do many people supporting Alvin Brown over Al Lawson?
Locally?
No, nationwide. No, of course, locally,
well,
yes.
Why
are they supporting Alvin Brown over Al Lawson?
The whole district goes to Tallahassee. I think probably those in our area are supporting him because he's from Jacksonville.
Ah! Exactly. They say that Lawson doesn't represent their area, even though they redistricted all of this. Do you know the state redistricts and you're out by a mile? You can't, should he not run for the seat? Whose fault is it? He didn't move. They got registered it out. Is there an hypocrisy by the Democrats? That's why I said I wanted to break this down. Because, again, unless the city charter says something different, the governor says he's doing this by the law. That the big complaint that I hear from a lot of people that say, the reason why I'm voting for Alvin Brown, because this is a Jacksonville seat. Is it? I mean, it goes to Tallahassee.
Legally, it's the district, anyone within the district.
That's right.
You know, including
people in
Tallahassee.
Oh, by the way, anybody outside of the district, why don't you got to live there? But what I'm saying is Democrats, is there an argument? Because Al Lawson's won.
Yeah.
He got it. No. He doesn't represent it. That's why we need Alvin Brown. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, is that where the main, because it's representation out there? What if in 10 months, as Terrence Freeman says, he does a good job? And the voters, again, I'm going on both sides, as I should, and the voters say, no, we want him to stay there. What are the Democrats going to say? We're going to have a recall? Well, first off, he didn't even get elected. So what are you talking about a recall for?
Right.
But you got 10 months. If he does a horrible job, you kick Terrence out.
Exactly. And I'm not necessarily...
Why don't we have the issue of ideas, folks?
I'm not necessarily convinced that people throughout the district are unhappy with it. I think probably some very prominent people, maybe you can count on one hand, aren't happy about it.
Yeah.
Who are politically invested, but not the constituents.
One of those opposed is a community organizer, Angie Nixon. This is what she said.
Democracy works best when everyone who lives in it actually has a voice. And right now, the residents of District 10... have had their voice taken away from them.
You know, maybe it would have been smarter to have a special election. That way, because that would have shut up the critics, one way or the other. If the Dems put in one of theirs, Republicans, whatever.
Special elections are expensive, and we are 10 months away from the regular election. You know, this is what the Florida law calls for, and I think it was abided by.
Here, the question I'd like to ask you, along with other issues, at 222-TALK, 222-8255, is this a cheap shot by the Democrats because Freeman is a black Republican appointed by Governor Rick Scott? And is it because the Democrats cannot win on the issue of ideas, so now they're attacking him? Whether you agree with it or not that he lives outside the district, it is part of the law. But Terrence has lived in Jacksonville for so many years. I want to know what you think. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Talk Radio WBOB.
On I-295 South Wilson Boulevard, there's an accident there this morning causing some backup.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County Judicial Candidate Kimberly Sadler.
This is Bill Martin with God First Ministries. Jesus Christ is your available source of all the good that our Father God has made available to you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus is our Savior. He is our Lord. Jesus is the Word of God. Through Him, all things were made and are held together. Jesus is your best friend. He is your brother, all that is good. Your true identity is found in Jesus Christ. In Christ, you have been blessed, made holy, and blameless before God. In Christ, you have been made the very righteousness of God.
This message has been brought to you by God First Ministries of Jacksonville. For more information, visit their website at godfirstmin.com.
Here's some great news. If you missed
min.com.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a healthcare plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Queens Harbor, prestige, excellence. This Saturday, you're invited to join us at Queens Harbor Country Club for a community-wide open house from noon until 3. Nearly every home available for purchase will be open to the public. Golf course homes, pool homes, and deep water homes. I'm Jerry Landrum with the Legends of Real Estate. My golf course property on Queens Harbor Boulevard is just one of the 25 properties that you'll be able to visit. Tell security that you're there for the open house and receive...
For more than 25 years, the potential for health improvement is seen with each patient that walks through our door. Healthcare decisions don't have to be confusing. Make Island Doctors your medical practice. Island Doctors cares about their patients.
They got my blood pressure off the ceiling, my thyroid off the floor.
Call us today to schedule a tour of one of our locations near you and take a peek at our best wellness program. And welcome home.
1-877-434-4676.
You'll probably be driving home in heavy thunderstorms this afternoon. More rain with thunderstorms this evening. The high today, 86, and the low this evening, 76. Right now it's 79 here at WBOB.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
Oh, boy, we're going to get to more of this as we continue to move along. Your emails, don't forget you can follow us on Facebook.com/WBOB. Your call's coming up next. 222-TALK, 222-8255. This is Ed Dean, Roger Henderson on Talk Radio WBOB.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM. WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Trump is again denouncing what he calls the fake news on Twitter this morning. Mr. Trump says he's recognized Russian election meddling many times, but he writes the fake news wants no part of that narrative. The White House says the president still considers Russia a threat to the U.S. election. Russian President Vladimir Putin, in his first public comments on the Helsinki summit, calls the meeting with Mr. Trump a success. Alleged Russian spy Maria Butina has been ordered held pending her trial, a judge declaring the 29-year-old a flight risk given her reputed ties to Russian intelligence. On Wall Street this morning, stock futures are in the red. Dow futures down about 105 points. NASDAQ futures off 30. S&P futures down 9.5 points. More details at srnnews.com.
On I-295 South, just before Wilson Boulevard, you'll see a crash. Most of the cars involved on the right now, not causing too big of a backup. And 295 South after Dunn Avenue, there's been a wreck, and it's on the right. There is backup there. We're looking at lots of rain with thunderstorms today and a high of 87 degrees. This evening, more rain with thunderstorms, 76 the low. Right now, it's 78 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Phase two of proposed tax cuts by the Republicans heavily focus on helping people retire. A Rasmussen poll says 73% of Democrats are looking for a fresh face to represent the party in 2020. And the U.S. House approved a measure supporting ICE, but Senate Democrats blocked the resolution.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
All right. Hold on. I'm just putting everything back in there. Let's take some calls. Let's go with Patrick. Hey, Patrick, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, good morning. I was wondering if you might be related to Chris Matthews.
Oh, yeah. We hang out. Yep. All the time. Half brother.
Okay. Okay. And I think you should change your morning show to Softballs with Ed Dean.
Softballs with Ed Dean. All right. Well, with you, I'll throw a curveball because evidently that's what I normally do and you can't answer them. So. He must be a Nancy Soderbergh supporter. Anyway, triple two, little inside
joke. What
was
that all about?
I have no clue, dude. Softball questions, I don't know. I mean, my questions are pretty good, pretty much to the point. Mm. So, again, those out there when they make accusations, just, yeah, what softball questions are out there? I have to, listen, this is a morning show. I just try to relate questions that are very simplistic. All right? If it's a little bit over your head, I'm sorry, man. So, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Should parties be in the business of endorsing? DNC chair, Deputy Chair Keith Ellison's complaining that the Democrat Party, this is a question I'd ask of both parties, by the way, Roger, the Democrat Party's too busy of interfering in elections.
To maintain that the Democrat should have absolutely no role in a primary. Now, I know that there have been people who have said otherwise. I have made myself abundantly clear that I will not ever allow that policy to go forward. And if I get overruled, I get overruled, but I'm not going to be quiet about it. And if you look at the research and you read the papers on this issue, I've been clear, no, we are neutral when it comes to these races.
And, of course, we know that what took place in 2015, 2016 mm-hmm. with the presidential primary and the Democrat side, we knew that if there's any meddling, it was between the Democrats and that of Hillary Clinton against ODB, old dirty Bernie Sanders. But this is a question, Roger, that you and I have covered this for years. This has been a big debate that's gone back the last 20 years, right, especially among Democrats and Republicans. You'll get a half a dozen people running for Congress, eight people running for city council, partisanship, running for school board. And the party thinks by weeding these individuals out, because mm-hmm. we shouldn't have that many people running, they say, that maybe the party needs to come in and endorse. You brought up a very great point last hour. Why not let the free market decide this?
Yeah, let the voters decide, because ultimately, you know, they're the ones who are going to have to go to the general election and either stay home or vote for their person, or even in protest sometimes vote against their own party just because they don't like how things have been run. And there's one thing as far as an endorsement goes, but what happens when party resources are used to help one candidate over the other in the primary? Is that
or they benefit from resources from the party the endorsement? So do you think, I mean, if you're a candidate and you're a grassroots guy, and you fight against the establishment, but yet you got the Republican Party endorsement mm-hmm. locally, I guarantee you, you'll be throwing that all around on Facebook and Twitter and everything else as far as the advertising out there. But here's the Achilles heel. Why would you want the endorsement of a Republican Party? I'm not slamming the local Republican parties here. I'm just saying Trump ran against the establishment. Would that not hurt you in a Republican primary? We're only talking primaries right now. Would that not hurt you? And should the party, I'd like to know from several of you that have been emailing me this morning, ed@wbob.com. I'd love to hear from you on the phone lines. Should the party be in the business of endorsing? Is it a smart move? Is it a bad move? Could it split the party?
I think it could. You know, there's big anti-establishment sentiment in both the Republican right. and Democrat parties right now. And I remember during the Republican, the Democratic convention, they had to dedicate an entire night almost to try to woo Bernie Sanders people over to support Hillary, who were in the Bernie camp, saying they weren't going to vote for Hillary because of how he was treated.
The Duval County Democratic Party is calling for, well, I guess they could call for impeachment now, but they're calling for a recall, but there hasn't been an election yet. The appointment of Terrence Freeman, who just now moved into the district of District 10, replacing Reggie Brown. The Democrats are out there saying, hey, we want, this shouldn't happen. This should not take place. And the question I ask, okay, instead of another appointment, why not have a special election? But yet, he lives, Terrence Freeman lives in the city of Jacksonville. He just doesn't live in that district. It's under the law right now, unless the charter says it's differently. Should he or should he not be appointed, or should there have been a special election?
You know what? I do not support the special election idea in this particular case. He lives in Mandarin.
What, you don't want to let the voters decide?
That would be a special election. We have a regular election coming up, and I probably he'll run for that, if all things being equal, unless he's forced out by law. Of course, there's now this litigation going on right now, but he lives in Mandarin. Would that disqualify him from representing? He lived in Mandarin, I should say. Before he was sworn in, he did establish legal residency in District 10. So I can't see what the hoopla is all about.
I mean, if that's part of the law, if you differ with it, then beat him in 10 months. That's what he said.
Exactly.
Remember, Al Lawson won the newly withdrawn district. And the people running against him on the Alvin Brown have said, no, no, this is a Jacksonville seat. It's not a Tallahassee seat. So you tell me, are the Dems, I mean, some of them, are they shown hypocrisy out there because a guy won? But no, no, he shouldn't. No, no, we want somebody of our own kind in there. But yet Lawson got it legitimately out there.
Right, right.
Whether or not you agree with the law, it is the law, according to the governor's office, that the governor can do this and anything else. So I wonder, the question is because Terrence Freeman is a black Republican, got appointed by a Republican governor. The question is, if this had been Gwynne Graham or Andrew Gilliam appointing a Democrat, and let's say the Republicans oppose this, the guy living outside of the area, do you think the Democrats would have a problem with that? No. But if the Republicans did, it would be called racism.
You know, I really do believe it's partisanship at its core, you know, not necessarily where he lives. I think they're using that as anything, you know, throwing the kitchen sink at him to try to use any excuses they can. But I think, obviously, you're right. It has to do with party politics.
73% of Democrats say they want somebody brand new to represent them in 2020. The poll broke it down by Rasmussen. The majority of women said no to Hillary, yes to somebody new. The majority of those in the black community said no to Hillary, no to Bernie Sanders, no, that we want a fresh new face. But what type of face would that be? Here was Greg Gutfeld from The Five.
Yeah, from the guy they hate so much. That's the hypocrisy. The people who despise Trump are now looking for their own Trump, meaning a punk rock outsider who rejects the establishment and wins. Why? Perhaps we figured out that the worst thing about politics are politicians. And if we learned anything from 2016, it's that nothing will ever be the same. Right. You can't go home again. And if you're a Democrat, that includes retirement homes.
Because they're talking about the age of the individuals looking to run. Even liberal columnist Juan Williams agreed with Gutfeld.
But I think you're exactly right that people want a new face. And it's not only that they want a new face. It's interesting. I saw in the polls that there's a split between people who voted for Hillary as to whether or not they would even take a Hillary back. Now, I think where the argument you get, Greg, is from the Bernie supporters.
Right.
Who see him as Cortez, same thing, more energy. And here's one thing I noticed in the research. Democratic strategists saying we want somebody who will punch Trump in the face, right? So they want someone who plays like Trump, who's bullying, has the kind of rhetoric.
So they're saying that the very guy they dislike, they want a fresh new face like Trump.
Yeah, the thing about it, when you run for a major office, it is a popularity contest. Who is this fresh new face going to be? If it's not somebody from a political background, Oprah Winfrey, Mark Zuckerberg, you have to have someone with at least some notoriety before you win it, because a fresh new face that no one's ever heard of is probably not going to get elected.
Jesse Waters from Waterworld says, hey, Democrats, when it comes to fresh new faces, and he gives an example in history of why they can win.
Her name is, but the Democrats are right. When they pull this, they want a fresh face. They win with fresh faces. They win with Bill Clinton. They will with Barack Obama. And they lose with Gore and Kerry and Hillary. So, like you said, they want someone that's going to punch Trump square in the face, and they don't want to do this Michelle Obama thing where, you know, Trump goes low, we go high. They're ready to get in the mud, but there's problems with that. Also, when you get in the mud with Donald Trump, you never really get out. He's a brawler, and he wins ugly.
The phase two of the tax cuts have pretty much come out, but not really. There's been some talk about extending and making it permanent the tax cut that's taken place 10 years down the road. Of course, that would sunset. And yet, Kevin Brady says that's what we want to do when it comes to this next phase.
Families in our small businesses. So today we're here to talk to you about making permanent this tax relief. One, so they can continue to grow. Two, so we can add 1.5 million new jobs. And three, we can protect them against a future Washington trying to steal back those hard-earned dollars.
You know, let me ask this question, and I want to get to more of this on the other side, but Roger, when we talk about fresh new faces out there, if 73% of the Democrats say they want a fresh new face, what about the Republicans? Because if you want a fresh new face, and let me just play devil's advocate, is Adam Putnam that guy? Is Ron DeSantis that guy? Kind of curious. We took calls this morning. Hardcore Trump supporters say, I'm voting for Putnam out there. We've got a lot of people said, hey, I like Bondi. I like a lot of these guys, but I'm supporting Putnam out there. But are they both fresh new faces when it comes to that? I wonder what do you think? You think the Republicans are looking for fresh new faces?
I don't know if they are. I think they're probably, you know, the Republicans are considered to be the incumbent party, at least coming down from the White House right now. They want to, I think, stay the course and keep people there who the team supports.
Well, I want to know what you think. 222-8255. Is there a bunch of hypocrisy from the Democrats because Rick Scott appointed a black Republican? Some of you have been emailing me this morning saying, why don't the Republicans make it a race issue? Well, that means they have to get in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of hold their head up a little bit higher out there. Again, if you don't live in a district, should that disqualify? I want to know what you think this morning. If you do business in Jacksonville for the last 30, 40 years, I'm sorry, you're part of Jacksonville because you live in a district? Or you live outside, you live in the city, but you live outside. Should that disqualify you, whether it's Democrat or Republican? If you do not live in a district, should that be a top-tier issue of why he or she should not be elected, or should not run for it? I want to know what you think. Your call is coming up right next, right here on Talk Radio WBOB.
On I-295 going south at Dunn Avenue, there's been a crash, and we are seeing a lot of backup there. 295 north at Heckscher, another accident. And 295 south at Wilson Boulevard on the west side, there's a crash.
Hi. This is Matt Caldwell, and I'm running to be your Commissioner of Agriculture. During my time in the Florida House, I was an unwavering supporter of our Second Amendment rights. I wasn't afraid to stand against my own party, especially when they voted to put restrictions on those rights. I fully support our constitutional right to keep and bear arms. As a life member, I am proud to stand with the NRA, and I'm even prouder to have their endorsement in my campaign for Commissioner of Agriculture. I'm Matt Caldwell. I stand for my principles. I will not back down. Scare tactics won't work with me. The Commissioner of Agriculture oversees our concealed weapons program, and you can count on me to protect that program from liberals who want to tear it down. To those liberals who are determined to destroy our Constitution, I will be there to stop you. I'm Matt Caldwell, and I'm asking for your vote. For more information about my campaign, please visit my website, votecaldwell.org. Political advertisement paid for and approved by Matt Caldwell, Republican for Commissioner of Agriculture.
With the temperatures rising, you'll want to make sure that your air conditioning system is working properly. Air conditioning should be your first call for your preventive maintenance needs. Why choose another air conditioning company when you can choose Snyder? You can count on Snyder to properly clean and check your system. There's a big difference between checking your system and cleaning your system. Cleaning your system will extend the life of your air conditioning unit and will also save you money on your electric bill. And right now, with 100% financing available with approved credit, there's never been a better time to upgrade your system. Snyder Air Conditioning is a family-owned Daikin Comfort Pro and can fix and service any make or model. Snyder Air Conditioning is Jacksonville's number one residential air conditioning company and has been serving Jacksonville for over 40 years. Snyder Air Conditioning. Call today at 641-0600. Snyder Mann and Daikin. License number CAC 181-3307.
Queens Harbor, prestige, excellence. This Saturday, you're invited to join us at Queens Harbor Country Club for a community-wide open house from noon until 3. Nearly every home available for purchase will be open to the public. Golf course homes, pool homes, and deep water homes. I'm Jerry Landrum with the Legends of Real Estate. My golf course property on Queens Harbor Boulevard is just one of the 25 properties that you'll be able to visit. Tell security that you're there for the open house and receive one of our handouts. We can't wait to meet you.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Thursday, July 19th at 5 p.m., it's the North Beach Art Walk at the Beaches Town Center in Neptune Beach. Thursday, July 19th at 7:30 p.m., it's Rascal Flatts in concert at Daly's Place next to TIAA Bank Field. And Friday, July 20th at 8 p.m., it's the Oak Ridge Boys in concert at the Thrasher Horn Center for the Arts in Orange Park.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Lots of rain with thunderstorms by the afternoon and a high of 87. More rain and thunderstorms this evening. Overnight, the low 76. Right now, it's 79 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram, next at 9. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A Rasmussen poll says 73% of Democrats face to represent the party in 2020. The U.S. House approved a measure supporting ICE, but Senate Democrats blocked the resolution. And phase two of proposed tax cuts by the Republicans heavily focus on helping people retire.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at wbob.com.
All right, let's go to Annie. Hi, Annie. Good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. It's my opinion that you definitely should have a representative who lives in the area, because that representative understands the challenges and the issues that it's facing your area. So although Rick Scott is a Republican and he picked a Republican and now they want to change their address, he's not representing the community, he's representing the ideas of Rick Scott. So I'm definitely opposed to it as well, and I have, so we won't the right type of representation.
What do you think? I am of the mind that why not have a, I mean, we have them all the time. Why didn't have a special election? Would you have supported that, Annie?
Absolutely have a special election, because even if the people of that district represent, choose to elect a Republican, they made that choice, not the governor.
Okay, but remember, the governor did, to the Katrina Brown district, he did appoint a Democrat.
I understand that, and I feel the same about that as well.
However, as long as
you represent the ideas of the people, and that's the most important thing.
All right, yeah. So, all right, we got some consistency there. I appreciate the call. Well, here's a question then, because I do like consistency, whether consistency left or consistently right, just be consistent. Some would argue would be a better choice, because Al Lawson doesn't even live in the city. But he lives in the district. But to some Democrats, Roger, that's not good enough.
Well, it is a campaign point, for Alvin Brown to get Jacksonville voters. I don't think it's going to fly well in Tallahassee, to be honest with you.
Yeah. But what if you have, I mean, so I'm playing devil's advocate here, because, mm-hmm. I mean, if it violates the charter rule, and I mean, I would have said, why not have a special election? But if you've had a business for 30, 40 years in the city, 15, 20 years. Guess what? I think you got some legitimacy here.
Hmm.
He doesn't live in the area. What if you got redistricted out by the state? Is that your fault? No, that's the state's fault for redistricting. So there's dadgum Republicans out there.
Right.
So the question is I understand some of the argument. Why not have a special election? I think that would just put everything. But I don't know if that would appease the Nixons, Angie Nixon, whatever her name is.
Right, right.
Those on the left.
This is obviously a unique situation. In an ideal world, Reggie Brown would still be serving the district. He was elected by the people. However, he's facing federal charges right now, and a special situation had to apply. The governor had to appoint someone to replace him. This is who he's chosen.
Here's what the community organizer, Angie Nixon, who opposes the Freeman being appointed.
Democracy works best when everyone who lives in it actually has a voice. And right now, the residents of District 10 have had their voice taken away from them.
All right. So, I mean, is there any hypocrisy there? By the way, some of you are saying, well, and folks, please don't get in the weeds. Well, we're not in a democracy. Yeah, at times you are. Majority does rule. I'm sorry. It just happens. May not in every case. But, well, we live in a republic. Yeah, you do have a republic and you do have a democracy. But democracy is majority. That's how we get people elected. So majority does rule here.
Right.
So stick to the facts. So stick to at least the point here. I mean, maybe she doesn't understand what the difference between democracy and republic. I get some of you have been emailing me that. But technically, whether you agree with it or not, we are in many cases a democracy out there. I mean, all right, let's go to Blake. Hey, Blake, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. Let's talk a little bit more about Terrence. First of all, I'm not going to get into demographics. I think their issue is primarily party.
Yeah.
But we need to go back and take a look at just how long Terrence has lived in Mandarin. He hasn't lived there. I think he's lived there maybe a year, 18 months at the most. So that issue is a red herring. It's a false issue. But here's what's more important about Terrence. He has been he was an ECA, what they call it, executive something council assistant. The councilmen have to have somebody to do their legwork. They're the ones that have to have a constant contact with the people and do the hard work that needs to be done because, I mean, they're full-time jobs. And Terrence was an ECA. So he's
right.
A longtime resident. He has a lot of understanding about how city council works. The issue of him being in Mandarin for any length of time, he has been a man of this city. So
yeah, who's the new?
Say all these things that they are. It's an issue of the fact that Rick Scott picked a Republican over Democrat.
Right. Who's the new city president?
I'm sorry?
Aaron Bowman. He worked for Aaron Bowman.
Yeah. No, he didn't. He worked for Jim Love.
No, Terrence worked for Aaron Bowman.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'm parsing the. He worked for Aaron Bowman at Jack's USA. My bad. So
okay,
you are correct.
No, again, he worked as a city employee when he worked for Jim Love, who's a sitting city council a member. So, quite frankly, I think he's a better choice than Jacoby Pittman.
Interesting. Was Jim's middle name Baby?
Not sure.
Why do they keep bringing you food? I mean, why does that individual keep bringing you food, and I just get a dirty look every
Let's
morning?
See, what do I got here? Oh.
What do they bring you now?
I don't know. It looks like chicken tenders and some. I don't know.
Wow. Oh, man.
People love the brother who says check one, two.
I'm going to start going to HR around here. what am I saying? You are HR. What am I getting at?
Exactly.
No. 222 talk. You know, to that point that Blake just brought up, he does have the experience. What if somebody ran in that district? I'm just asking. Again, I'm playing devil's advocate here, folks, because I understand both sides. I truly, truly do. What if somebody got elected that didn't have any experience? Then what would you say? Well, can they truly represent the community then?
I honestly believe that person, if they didn't have experience but they had a hyphen D after their name, they probably would end up beating the one with the hyphen R after their name. But would it be good for them? And it's not my place to say. But, they probably wouldn't be well served.
Now, I didn't hear the whole press conference. I have it. But have the Dems called, instead of a revamping the appointment, have any of the Dems called for a special election?
You're the only one I've heard talk about.
Angie, who called, she blinks it out to be done locally. I from in the district. Why not have a special? I've seen a special elections happen, and then 6 months down the road, there's another election.
Hmm.
Why not have that? That way, the Democrats get in their own, they get their own. If the Republicans get their own or an MPA, that settles it right there.
Well, the current law says this is how we do it, and that's what the governor did.
Right. What does the city charter say? Is it different?
I'm not quite sure.
Mayor Lenny Curry kind of weighed in on this. He says that, you know, he didn't make any recommendations on this when it came. He was being asked about it. And pretty much he says, I'm going to make sure that every person in every neighborhood is represented out there. But, you know, I just wonder is this just sour grapes because the Dems, is it just because Terrence is a Republican? The Dems are a bunch of, you know, they wanted someone of a Democrat-like-minded as well. They're just not happy.
I honestly am of the view, and this is just my opinion, you know, that if he had been a Democrat, no matter where he lived, we wouldn't hear about any of this.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely.
But according to what you said, he's a sellout because he's a black Republican.
I wouldn't call him.
Hey,
let me
ask you a question.
I wonder if Jacoby Pittman lived in the district that she's serving in.
I don't know.
She's a Democrat.
Let me ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when Ana Lopez Broche, Mayor Broche, when she, it's a joke, all right? When Ana Lopez Broche was asked to watch the district until they had a replacement, correct?
Okay, yes.
Okay. What if to the next year's election, what if Sam Newby was asked to oversee the district until next March? Do you think the left would have a problem with that? Maybe so, because Sam Newby's a black Republican.
Mm.
And he's got experience. And he supports Governor Rick Scott.
Mm.
How about that one? You can always email me, ed@wbob.com, ed@wbob.com.
I-95 North at Lem Turner, there's been a crash involving at least three cars. 295 South at Dunn Avenue, another accident. And 295 North at Heckscher, there's a crash there as well.
The Cal Thomas Commentary is brought to you by Values Through Media. Now here's syndicated columnist Cal Thomas.
What do people hope to achieve by their loud and sometimes mean criticism of President Trump? Do they think he will repent like a sinner seeking salvation, or will the criticism just harden his heart? I wonder how many of his critics pray for him. I asked a similar question when Barack Obama and Bill Clinton were president. If you're a follower of Jesus, you know all authority is from God. If you're not a Trump supporter, why don't you pray for him? You might also pray for Mike Pence. The vice president is a solid believer and is close to the president. Yes, I'm aware of the president's faults and have written about them. But I don't condemn him as many do. After Helsinki and his meeting with Russian President Putin, Trump asked whether people would prefer confrontation or conversation. I'm for sanctions continuing against Russia for their misbehavior. I don't doubt that some tried to meddle in the 2016 election, but as the Deputy Attorney General said, it did not change any votes or the outcome. Pray for the president and see what happens. What happens to you and what happens to him. I'm Cal Thomas.
For a free copy of today's commentary, visit calthomas.com or write us at Values Through Media, P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. That's P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. Please specify the date and subject. Your tax-deductible gifts to Values Through Media help support us. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Are you sick and tired of the same old car buying blues, high dealer fees, annoying salespeople, and a difficult financing process? Dream Wheels offers a radically different car buying experience. We're a family-owned dealership without any of the same old car dealer dishonesty. We carry the finest like-new inventory, and our huge list of lenders offers us the best financing rate in the business for any type of credit. We get it done when everyone else can't. And remember, Dream Wheels equals dream payment. Come see us at 3955 St. Augustine Road. Call us at 574-9200. Or visit our website at dreamwheelsjax.com. That's dreamwheelsjax.com.
Are you tired of pre-recorded financial shows that try to scare you into buying annuities and life insurance products? I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee. Together we host the Van Wee Financial Hour, live every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Van Wee Financial is a fee-only financial planning and asset management company here on Florida's First Coast.
We bring you current financial information and analysis without the scare tactics.
Most of all, we answer your financial and investing questions live on the air.
Tune into the Van Wee Financial Hour and call us every Saturday morning at 10 right here on AM 600 and FM 101.1 WBOB.
So some of the emails we got in, it was Aaron Bowman, not Jim Love. So it was the ECA. By the way, guess who's coming on tomorrow? Hit my...
Okay, who's coming in?
No, she's booked for tomorrow. Judge Jeanine's coming on.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I think she's... I don't know if she's by phone. They're trying to get everything taken care of. So Judge Jeanine Pirillo. Is it Pirillo? Her new book? I don't know how you pronounce it. I just called Judge Jeanine. She's coming on tomorrow. We're thankful to God every day for the show. Thankful to all of you that listen in. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. on WBOB.